Now repeat. What is the accusation? The accusation is Socrates is a wise man. It's the first accusation. Socrates is a wise man. Who has theories about the heavens and has investigated everything below the earth. To inquire about heaven and about the earth is a big fault. Anyway, this is the accusation. Here is a wise man who has investigated heaven and earth. And he can make the weaker argument defeat the stronger. A weaker argument can defeat the stronger. Such is the capacity and skill of this man. These people, gentlemen, the disseminators of these rumors, who are my dangerous accusers. Because those who hear them suppose that anyone who inquires into such matters must be an atheist, one who does not believe in God. Besides, there are a great many of these accusers, and they have been accusing me now for a great many years. And what is more, they approached you at the most impressionable age, when some of you were children or adolescents. And they literally won their case by default. Now this expression is very important, to win a case by default. If you go to a judge and make an accusation, accusation is made, but at a time when the person against whom accusation is made is not present. I go to the judge and make an accusation against one of you when you are not present. So you are not there to defend. So the judge will believe what he is told and will give judgment against you. This is called the winning of the argument by default, because you are not present at the time when accusation is made against you. So he said, I was not present when these people were telling you when you were children. I was not present at that time. They simply told you, look, there is Socrates, be aware of him, very dangerous man, very bad man. Why? Because he inquires into heavens and into the earth. And he makes the weaker argument win the stronger. Such is the skill of this man. Now you heard this argument when I was not present. You were children playing in the compound, and suddenly somebody came and said, look, beware of Socrates, he's a bad man. So he said, and this is more dangerous because I was not present to defend myself. And the most fantastic thing of all is that it is impossible for me even to know and tell you their names unless one of them happens to be a playwright. He said, only one person I know from among those people who were arguing against me, and that is one playwright. The name of the playwright is Aristophanes. If you look into page number 23 again, number 3, on page number 23, a playwright is a comic poet called Aristophanes. He burst Socrates in his comedy, The Clouds. That is a title of his comedy called The Clouds. It was produced in 423 by representing him as a sophist of the worst type, a quack scientist and rhetorician with neither religion nor morals. This is how Socrates was portrayed in a drama for the sake of caricature. So he said, I know only one of those people who spoke against me, and there is only a playwright. Others who were speaking against me, I don't even know their names. All these people who have tried to set you against me out of envy and love of slander. You know the meaning of slander? It's a legal term. Slander means to speak ill of somebody. A speech which is a criticism in order to make him disreputed. To speak ill of somebody, so the speech which is ill of somebody is called slander. So he said, these are the people who were envious of him and who loved slander. And some too, merely passing on what they have been told by others. All these are very difficult to deal with. It is impossible to bring them here for cross-examination. One simply has to conduct one's defense and argue one's case against an invisible opponent, because there is no one to answer. So I ask you to accept my statement that my critics fall into two classes. On the one hand, my immediate accusers, Anytus, Meritus, Lycon, and on the other, those earlier ones whom I have mentioned. And you must suppose that I have first to defend myself against a letter. Letter means the earlier ones. After all, you have heard them abusing me longer ago and much more violently than these more recent accusers. Very well then. I must begin my defense, gentlemen. And I must try, in the short time that I have, to rid your minds of a false impression, which is the work of many years. I should like this to be the result, gentlemen, assuming it to be for your advantage and my own. And I should like to be successful in my defense. But I think that it will be difficult, and I am quite aware of the nature of my task. However, let that turn out to be as God wills. I must obey the law and make my defense. Let us go back to the beginning and consider what the charge is that has been made me so unpopular and has encouraged Meritus to draw up this indictment. Very well. What did my critics say in attacking my character? I must read out the affidavit. Affidavit is again a legal term. An affidavit is a statement of affirmation. Whenever you want to argue before the court, you have to state what you want to say. You have to give in writing. So this statement is your affirmation, what you want to say. So this statement is called affidavit. So he says, I must read out that affidavit, so to speak, as though they were my legal accusers. And this is now he reads out. Socrates is guilty of criminal meddling, in that he inquires into things below the earth and in the sky, and makes the weaker argument defeat the stronger, and teaches others to follow his example. It runs something like that. You have seen it for yourselves in the play by Aristophanes, where Socrates goes whirling round, proclaiming that he is walking on air. Actually, in the drama, Socrates was shown to be hanging in a basket. Caricature, it is to make people laugh, just to show that Socrates thinks better when he's in the air. So how to show that he is in the air? So he is put in the basket, in the upper region. This is to show that Socrates inquires into the heavens above and below the earth. And he can think better only when he thinks in the air. So, you have seen for yourselves the play by Aristophanes, where Socrates goes whirling around in the basket, he goes whirling around, proclaiming that he is walking on air and uttering a great deal of other nonsense about things of which I know nothing whatever. I mean no disrespect for such knowledge, if anyone really is versed in it. I do not want any more lawsuits brought against me by meritors. But the fact is, gentlemen, that I take no interest in it. What is more, I call upon the greater part of you as witnesses to my statement. And I appeal to all of you who have ever listened to me talking, and there are great many to whom this applies, to clear your neighbor's minds on this point. Tell one another whether any one of you has ever heard me discuss such questions briefly or at length. And then you will realize that the other popular reports about me are equally unreliable. The fact is that there is nothing in any of these charges. And if you have heard anyone say that I try to educate people and charge a fee, there is no truth in that either. I wish that there were, because I think that it's a fine thing if a man is qualified to teach, as in the case of Gorgias, of Leontini, and Prodicus of Ceos, and Hippias of Elis. Each one of these is perfectly capable of going into any city and actually persuading the young man to leave the company of the fellow citizens, with any of whom they can associate for nothing, and attach themselves to him and pay money for the privilege and be grateful into the bargain. There is another expert too, from Paros, who I discovered was here on a visit. I happened to meet a man who has paid more in sophist fees than all the rest put together. You can see here Socratic irony throughout. He says, in effect, look, I have been told that I teach people and take money from them. He says, it is not true. But I must congratulate those people who are able to teach. I am not able to teach at all. There are so many people who can teach, and they are so good that they go to a city and talk to some young people. These young people are talking to their fellow citizens. They come away from them, go to this teacher and say, please teach me, it's a privilege for me if you teach me, and I'll pay you for it. So he said, I have great admiration for these people who teach and who take a lot of money out of them. I have no such capacity. I can't teach and nobody will pay me either. So if you accuse me that I have been taking money, he said, tell you wrong, because I don't have the capacity at all. Now he gives another example. He says, I happened to meet a man who has paid more in sophist fees than all the rest put together. I mean Callias, the son of Hipponicus. So I asked him, he has two sons, you see. Callias, I said, if your sons had been colts or cows, we should have no difficulty in finding and engaging a trainer to perfect their natural qualities. And this trainer would have been some sort of horse dealer or agriculturalist. But seeing that they are human beings whom you intend to get at their, whom do you intend to get as an instructor? Who is expert in perfecting the human and social qualities? I assume from the fact of your having sons that you must have considered the question. Is there such a person or not? Certainly, said he. Who is he? And where does he come from? Said I. And what does he charge? The answer was, Evenius of Paros, Socrates, said he. And his fee is 20 guineas. I felt that Evenus was to be congratulated if he really was a master of his art. and taught it at such a moderate fee. I should certainly plume myself and give myself airs if I understood these things. But in fact, gentlemen, I don't.